We're in this week three of the series called Man Up. And next week is the last week of our series. I'm looking forward to wrapping this up, not for any other reason other than, you know, I want lives to be changed. I want men to be the men that God has called them to be. I want families to be changed. I want communities to be strengthened. Most importantly, I want people, men and women, to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, we've looked at a few different situations over the last few weeks. I kind of alluded a little bit to John and James, these two of Jesus' disciples called Sons of Thunder, as we jumped into this series. You know, they were a little bit rowdy, a little bit edgy. They leave this town that they'd kind of been kicked out of, and they ask Jesus, "Do you want us to bring down, you know, fire from heaven and destroy this village?" And, you know, I mean, they were out there a little bit crazy, like many of the men in church today. But they also had unlimited potential, like all of the men in church today. And God would use those two men, as amongst others, to change the world. Now, our outline that we've been using for this series comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. And as Paul gets to the end of this letter, he kind of goes rapid fire, as he does in others. But these particular verses, he uses some military language to teach us about being men. He says this in verses 13 and 14. "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love." And we've kind of been looking at this these last few weeks, kind of like the spokes on a wheel. So the first spoke was be watchful. Godly men are watchful. They're up on the wall, as they did in the Old Testament times around a city, they're up on the wall, they're watching out. In our case, they're watching out for pride. They're watching out for enemy attacks. They're watching out for attacks from ourselves. That was the first spoke of the wheel. The second one, last week, we talked about how godly men, they show up. Godly men show up because when they don't, the enemy wins. There's no battle. The enemy just comes in and attacks your home, your household, and the enemy wins. Godly men show up because God has entrusted us to lead. And finally, godly men show up because they don't make excuses, okay? Now today, in the midst of that is this hub of act like men, that Greek word andrisome. It means, you know, it's this very manly connotation. And that's why we're talking about manning up these few weeks. Today is the third spoke of our wheel, and we're going to be talking about be strong. And then next week we'll wrap things up with let all that you do be done in love. So today, be strong. If you would let me kind of go Bible nerd on you for just a minute, I need to talk about the original Greek language here where it says be strong. The phrase used here is passive in the original language, which means it's not something God is telling us to go do. Don't go to the gym and get stronger. That's not what it means. It's more about being made strong. This is something God does in us. God works in us and makes us strong. And so getting stronger today is not something you do. It's something God does in you. Now, your part in that is you have to be submissive to His will. You have to be humbled before Him. So as we talk about this today, keep that in mind. This is actually more about God working in you than it is you or me. But we need to have that framework. Now today, since we're talking about strong men, I thought it would be good to talk about a strong man in the Bible. The strongest man who ever lived, his name was Samson. Strong, yet weak. Strong physically, but weak spiritually. One of the weakest men who ever lived. And I'm not using him for the reason that you might think, because of his strength. I'm showing you instead how a strong man can be weak spiritually. And also how a weak man can become strong with God's help. So here's the first point this morning. Godly men get stronger when they are faithful in the little things. If you want to overcome impossible odds, then overcome possible odds. Let me say that a couple different ways. You need to be faithful in the little things. And when we are faithful in what we can handle, God handles what we cannot. Here's another maybe social media friendly way of saying that. If you are faithful with the possible, God will help you to do the impossible. That is to say that you can do what you do what you need to do to be faithful in the little things, and God will help you do the things that you cannot do or the impossible things. Our man Samson today, he was not faithful in the little things, as we're going to see in just a moment. He was big and strong, but he was not faithful in the little things. Here's a for instance. Before Samson was born, God told his dad and mom that he was to be a Nazarite, to be a Nazarite from birth. Now, the word Nazarite means separation. A Nazarite was a person who was totally devoted to God. Now, a few other well-known Nazarites, Samuel, John the Baptist, Nazarites in the Bible. They had three characteristics about a Nazarite, according to Wikipedia. Actually, it's Numbers chapter 6. But these three characteristics about a Nazarite, okay? This is what they were supposed to do. Number one, they were never supposed to be around or eat grapes. Grapes are a no-no. Grapes were a sign of an affluent lifestyle. They were supposed to be simple people who relied on the Lord, and so live a simple life. No wine, no grapes, no grape juice. If you were a Nazarite, no grapes for you. Number two, they were never to touch a dead body or a carcass. God is the giver of life. They were supposed to be set apart for God. So, no grapes, no touching carcasses, all of that out of bounds for the Nazarite. Number three, they were never to cut their hair. Now, there are times that I wish I were a Nazarite just for that reason alone. No idea what that would look like, but there are times that are like, wow, you know. But understand, haircuts are not bad, but for the Nazarite, long hair, don't care, that was their mantra, okay? This was the thing that kept them visibly different from the other people. It's an outward sign that they were inwardly, totally devoted to God. Now, even to this day, when you see a picture of Samson, a drawing, a rendering, a painting or something like that, you're going to see this man with muscles and long hair, right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And because of that, oftentimes, we get this idea that Samson got his strength because of his long hair. Right? Kind of like Popeye. What did Popeye eat to be strong? Spinach, right? How many of you growing up ate spinach so that you could be strong? Anybody? No, okay. A few of you maybe. Not I. Now, I have been known to open up a can of tuna when I'm out hunting in the woods for days on end, that sort of a thing. And why I'm out there for days on end, well, I haven't gotten anything yet. So, but it's the protein. It's not the can. It's not the spinach. It's not any of that. But we get this idea, though, that because of his long hair, it was not his long hair that made Samson strong. It was God who made him strong. God is the giver of strength. His long hair was a sign that he was walking with the Lord, that he was submitted to God. But the truth is, Samson wasn't, especially in the little things. A couple of things that show up early in the text show us that he was not being faithful in the little things. If you have your Bible this morning, open up to Judges chapter 14. Samson is traveling along with mom and dad, and it says this starting in verse 5. Judges chapter 14. Then Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah, and they came to the vineyards of Timnah. Pop quiz. What's in a vineyard? Grapes. What is a Nazarite not to touch or not to have? Grapes. You get an A. Okay. And behold, a young lion came toward him roaring. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. And we all know what it's like to tear apart a young goat. I'm guessing a little more difficult than a turkey at Thanksgiving. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Why didn't he tell his mom and dad? Because he was in the vineyard, right? I mean, why wouldn't he tell his mom and dad? I'm 36 years old, and I still tell mom and dad every accomplishment. I mean, I could be working in the house and remodel some part of the house, and I'll snap a picture and text it to mom and dad. Hey, look what I did. Good job, son. That looks amazing. Look at this lamp I made. Oh, wow, that's pretty neat. I mean, maybe even, you know, I'll empty a mouse trap, and I'm carrying the mouse out through the house, and the girls are like, ah! And Jacob's like, that's really cool. Yeah, we had some mice in the house, but, you know, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and I, but I tell mom and dad about these things. Many of you perhaps do that as well. So why didn't he tell his parents? Because he wasn't where he was supposed to be, right? He's in the vineyard. He's not being faithful in the little things. Well, later on, he's traveling along the same road, and once again, he detours, sees the lion's carcass, and inside bees have made a hive, and in the hive is honey, so he scoops some out. Verses 8 and 9. After some days, he returned to take her. Some versions might say marry her. I'll get into that a little bit later. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion and honey. He scraped it out into his hands and went on, eating as he went. And he came to his father and mother and gave some to them, and they ate. But he did not tell them that he'd scraped the honey from the carcass of the lion. Why didn't he tell mom and dad? Why didn't he tell them? A, he's not supposed to be in the vineyard, right? B, there's a carcass here and he's not supposed to touch a carcass. And not only that, he's eating out of this carcass. Listen, Samson had been given this incredible gift of strength from God. The reason he'd been given this incredible gift of strength from God was to be intentional, to help deliver the Israelites from the Philistines, who were giving them a bad, bad time. And so God raises up this strong man named Samson. I'm telling you, there are a lot of guys who have been given strength by God. I'm not talking about physical strength. I'm talking about leadership strength. I'm talking about business sense, strong personalities, strong discipline, strong teaching abilities, strong coaching abilities, strong discernment abilities. Men who have strength given to them by God for a time like this in history. We are not alive by accident. We don't live in a vacuum. We're here for a purpose, and God has gifted a lot of men, a lot of you men, with strength. And yet as I look around, sometimes I see men who are very gifted in one area and who are not faithful in the little things. Read this verse later, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24. It's one that you should know, one you should have marked in your Bible. I'm going to paraphrase. It's noted in your program. But this is basically what it says. The sins of some are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them, while the sins of others trail behind. The sins of some are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them, while the sins of others trail behind. This is what it means. It means that some people, when they're not faithful in the little things, they get caught and caught right away. Listen, if you're the type of person who, you know, you're thinking, why can't I get away with anything? You are a blessed individual. You are. Because here's what happens. An individual who kind of gets away with something and then, you know, they get away with it another day and then another day and then a month later and whatnot. And before two lines, well, it's not that big of a deal. But all the while, judgment is piling up. All the while, consequences are piling up and they will come crashing down someday. But the truth is in this verse here, when we aren't faithful in the little things, it always catches up with us. Also, we're missing out on God's strength. When we're not faithful in the little things, God can't give us the strength he wants to give us in the next things, whenever that may be. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 says this, "One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and one who's dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much." So if you're looking at your life and you're not being faithful in the little things and you're sitting around wondering, why isn't God blessing my life? I kind of picture God sitting around wondering, why isn't this person being faithful in the little things so that he can bless you in the bigger things? We're supposed to do what we can do to be faithful in the little things so that God can help us to do what at one time we could not do on our own, to give us strength. This might be I don't know if this is a good example or not, but a few times over the past few years, someone has come in off the street and wanted to speak with the pastor. And so I will sit down with them, and they usually begin they've begun the conversation with, "The Lord has given me a word to share with your church, and I just wanted to let you know I would like to come and preach here." And I don't know this person, and you know, I know that God works in mysterious ways, but I also feel a very strong responsibility to protect, and our elders do as well. And so I'll say, "Well, you know, why don't you share with me what that word is, and then I can kind of help discern where that might best be heard, and I might talk with our elders about that as well." "Well, you know, no, you wouldn't understand. The Lord has given me a word to speak to your church. They're not being faithful to the word," and I'm thinking, okay, and I'll ask them, "Well, have you visited?" "No, I've never been here before." "Well, why don't you come visit for a few weeks? Why don't you, you know, fellowship with us and get to know us? We can get to know you. Maybe you could join our new members class for a week and understand how we interpret God's word." And honestly, maybe I'm a little biased, but I think we're holding pretty firmly to God's word. "Why don't you just start there at the beginning?" And the conversation twice now, once, you know, he got upset and just kind of left storming out. The other one, he said, well, I'm just wasting my time here. I'm going to go on. And I'm just thinking, you know, sometimes we have this big, huge, grandiose ideas, and maybe they're good ideas. I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to preach or go on, be a missionary or whatnot. And I'm thinking, well, are you being faithful in the little things? Are you being faithful in the little things? Are you doing the little things well? If you're not doing the little things well, then why would God take you further than this? So if you want strength for the bigger things, do the little things well. I bet God is just real tired, you know, right now about so many promises that people make to him. God never gets tired, by the way, but just hypothetically speaking, I wonder if a few months ago, many prayers went something like this. God, if you would just help me win the Powerball, I would give half of the money, a third of the money to the church. I would build a new building. I would support missionaries for the next 10 years. I would pay off everybody's bills. I promise you, Lord. And I'm going to put words in God's mouth, but I don't think I'm too far from the truth. I wonder if he's thinking, if you haven't been faithful with the $10 in your pocket, you wouldn't be faithful with a billion. And again, Jesus says, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. One who's dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. What are we doing with the little things in our path today? Even this week, there might be something, you know, a little decision or something just might seem minute, and it very well could be a bit of a test or something. Maybe you're considering something and it's a test. God wants to do more, but he's just wondering, is this person going to be faithful in the little things? Are they going to be faithful so that I can give them more strength, so they can overcome more, so they can do these greater things? Godly men get stronger when they are faithful in the little things. Number two, godly men get stronger when they abide in Christ daily. Godly men get stronger when they abide in Christ daily. This is about daily, total, intentional surrender. Again, it's noted in the program, but Psalm 91. If you're interested in reading a chapter, I encourage you to do that about abiding with God. But back to our story. Samson, as physically strong as he was, did not abide. Here's what I mean by that. Every day he got up and instead of asking the question, God, what do you want from me today? God, what can I do for you today? I'm your servant. I'm only here for you. Instead of starting his day with that mindset, Samson's mindset was, it's all about me. What can I get away with today? His weakness was the girls. Samson liked the girls. Whenever you read his story, it's almost as if this girl craziness is kind of highlighted, and I've got a few verses to show you. Judges chapter 14, verse 1, Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. Chapter 16, verse 1, Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw a prostitute, and he went into her. Chapter 16, verse 4, after this he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Not Delilah from the radio, this is a bad Delilah. This is, you know, she was on the side of the enemy. But Samson felt like he was strong, felt like he could handle her schemes. Her good looks made Samson dumb. Her good looks made Samson stupid. And we all know somebody like that, don't we? No elbowing, no, you know who I'm talking about. No, none of that. But her good looks made Samson justify things. Friends, if you're single, don't get stupid based on somebody's looks. I know there are some who abide with someone, and they know that when they abide with that person, they are abiding outside of the word, outside of the will of God. But they look so good, right? That's what we tell ourselves. And Samson put up with the drama because she was a hot mama. And what are you doing? Samson. If you're not familiar with his story, just listen how this plays out. But people get stupid, and they think that they can handle it, and they're not abiding in the Lord's will, and they're doing their own thing. Samson thought he was strong enough to handle it, and so he starts toying with her. She says, tell me the secret of your strength. She'd been put up to this by the Philistines. They wanted to take him out and find out the secret of his strength. And so they put her up to this, and she says, tell me what it is. And he says, okay, since you look so good, if you tie me up with 7 leather straps, I'll be weak as any other man. Samson goes to sleep. She ties him up with 7 leather straps, and she yells out, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you!" And he wakes up. He breaks the straps. The Bible says he pounds the Philistines as they run away. What happens next? She says, "You made a fool out of me. You lied to me." You can start to see the guy's IQ. You can start to understand his spiritual IQ at the same time. She's trying to get a guy killed, and then she gets mad at him when he doesn't get killed. Only a beautiful woman can make a man feel guilty for not letting her kill him. And he said, "We should." So he says, "Okay, Delilah, if you tie me up with 7 new ropes, not leather, my mistake, 7 new ropes, then I'll be as weak as any other man." And she does when he falls asleep. She tied him up. She yells out, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And he broke those ropes like they were threads, once again pounded the Philistines. And she says, "How could we have a meaningful relationship if you're constantly lying to me? You have to be honest with me." He says, "Okay, if you weave the 7 braids of my hair into a loom and fasten it with a pin, then I'll become as weak as any other man." Now notice what is happening. It's getting closer. It's getting closer to the edge. And if you're not abiding with Christ daily, it's difficult to know where the edge is. It's hard to see the edge sometimes. That's why a lot of people fall off, because they're not abiding with Christ daily. The edge becomes unclear. And a lot of people get too close and end up falling off. So she braids his hair into the loom. She's got this loom connected to his hair now. So she wakes him up. "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And he gets the loom and rips it off. I'm picturing roar. And then he breaks free and chases the Philistines down and pounds them again. And then it happens. And I don't know what triggers it, but things change. Not necessarily immediately, because he says, "Well, here's the secret of my strength. No razor has ever touched my head. I've been a Nazarite since birth. If my head was shaved, then I would be like as weak as any other man." And that's exactly what happens. Samson goes to sleep, and she has his head shaved. I heard this phrase one time talking about temptation, and when you are too close to temptation, when you're around it too much, you end up falling for it eventually. And the phrase is this: if you hang around the barbershop long enough, you're going to get a haircut. That's what happens with Samson. He for real got a haircut. And she yells out, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And the Bible says he thought to himself, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." But then come some of the saddest words in all of Scripture. Chapter 16, verse 20. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Samson did not know that the Lord had left him. There comes a time, there comes a day for all of us when we are not abiding with God. If we're not abiding with Him, meaning we're doing our own thing, that we wake up one day and we say to ourselves, "How did I get into the mess I'm in? How did things get so messed up in my life? How did this happen?" But really, it's not that far of a trip. I mean, it's the difference between waking up in the morning and saying, "Today is yours, God." Or saying, "It's all about me." Romans chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. Talking about dress for success. Paul writes this: "Let us walk properly as in the daytime," skipping down to verse 14, "but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." Make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Make no provision means no plans whatsoever. So there's maybe, you know, a temptation out there for you. And I don't know what that is. Back in the day, okay? You know, not recently. Do you know what these sold for online when they quit making them? Anybody? I was going to look that up. I apologize for not doing that. But, I mean, you know, make no provision. You don't put something out in front of you and just kind of leave it there and just kind of look at it or drive by it every now and then or talk to them once in a while. Make no provision. You abide in Christ. By the way, strength does not mean this. I know a lot of times people talk about strength and temptation and, you know, whatever that temptation is, they say, "This is my struggle, but I'm strong enough. I'm going to put it right here in front of me, but I'm not going to be tempted. I'm not going to fall into temptation with that. And that's not strength. That's stupidity. I mean, to leave a temptation in front of you and to continue to flirt with it or deal with it, the Bible says make no provision for the flesh. Make no provision, meaning get it out of here, right? Get it out of here. Make no provision. Strength is not how close I can get to a temptation without falling into it. Strength is how far can I stay away from the temptation. Make no provision. That's what it means. Steer clear. You don't go there anymore. You don't do that anymore. You don't talk to that person anymore. You abide in Christ. And listen to me, when you steer clear, when you make no provision for the flesh and you abide in Christ, you get stronger. You get stronger. John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. Jesus says this, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." If you want to see a strong man, find someone who every day willingly submits themselves and is abiding with God, abiding with Christ. Number three this morning, godly men get stronger when they admit weakness and ask for help. Strength. This is tough because we said in week one, men oftentimes deal with pride, right? Men struggle with pride, and when a man is down, he will oftentimes stay there because he will not ask for help because of pride. Back to our story about Samson. He's got his head shaved. He's tied up. Next thing they did was they took red hot metal pokers and they literally melted the eyes out of his head. So you think about that for a minute. All of his life, Samson struggled looking at the girls. Didn't struggle looking at the girls anymore because he had no eyes. Worse than that, he's got no strength, but God is so full of grace, he did not give up on Samson. Let me say this real quick. I don't care how far away you feel this morning, how far away you've gotten yourself, God is always available. God is a prayer away, and he wants you back. He can still save you. He will go on a rescue mission for you if you'll ask him, if you'll let him. Well, the Bible says Samson's hair began to grow while he was in prison, and as it grew, he humbled himself before God. By the way, I've seen men humbled. We typically have a lot of pride, but I've seen men humbled through bad circumstance after bad circumstance. It is not a pretty sight, but eventually a guy will get humbled. Sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes it takes hitting rock bottom, but eventually after you're down for long enough, you get humbled. Let me just tell you, men, this morning, it doesn't have to be that way, guys. You don't have to get knocked to your knees time and time again to be humbled. You can be humbled before God on a good day. You can choose to go there. So one of their drunken feasts, the Philistines brought out Samson as kind of a circus sideshow entertainment, and Samson asked the servant who's leading him to lead him to the main support columns of the structure they were in. And again, this big, you know, party and things. And he asks the Lord, he says this prayer, "Lord, make me strong one more time. One more time." And the once strongest man in the world, now a circus sideshow, thousands of people gathered together. The leaders of the Philistines are there as well in this building up on the roof, looking down and watching what's going on. And he pushes and knocks the building down and takes out the leadership and breaks the yoke of the Philistines over the Israelites in his last breath. Which leads me to say this, God can work through anybody. God can work through even the most messed up individuals. You know, we have some good men in our church. Had the opportunity to have breakfast with several of them over the last several weeks. Maybe I've, you know, stood with a shovel or helped somebody on a project around the church or been in a Bible study with you or had a conversation in a hallway. We have some good men here, and I'm proud of you. But guys, if you want to make it on this journey, you have to be willing to admit your weaknesses and ask for strength. That's part of the deal. Paul writes this. He had some things he wanted God to change in him, some weaknesses, and he got this answer from God, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. But he, that's God, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul speaking again, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul says, okay, that's good enough for me. For when I am weak, he is strong. In my weakness, God's strength gets to show up. That's what I want to see in our men's lives. That's what I hope happens in our women's lives as well. But I want to talk to the men for just a few moments here. Here's the takeaway challenge for you. You can see it in your program. Down on the bottom right, there's a prayer there. The prayer says this, Heavenly Father, please give me the strength to be the man you've called me to be. I cannot do it on my own, but with Christ I can do all things. Where I'm weak, please make me strong. May everything I do be for your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Now put this in the program. You can use the program if you want, or you can snap a picture with your phone and have it with you. But what I want you to do is this. If I could just get you to commit to intentional daily prayer for the next 7 days, every single day that you would get up in the morning and pray this prayer. Now, I know many of you have your own devotions or are praying, and that is great. I want to challenge you, would you consider doing this for the next 7 days? I want to take it up a notch. In fact, I mean, I did this morning, but before you get about your day and get clothes on and go to the bathroom or check your email or read the news or turn on the TV or eat breakfast, before you do anything else, this week, for the next 7 days, each day, would you commit to doing this? And a twist to that, would you slide out of bed and let your knees hit the floor and pray this prayer this week? Samson's long hair was an outward sign of his inward devotion to God, or what it was supposed to be anyway. And I'm going to ask you men this morning if you would make a visible sign as well. If you'll commit to doing this every day this week, would you stand up today? Would you stand up this morning? I want us to be able to encourage one another. And I want people here to see the commitment that you're making. If you have a wife, that they would see this commitment as well. Let's all stand up together this morning. If you don't have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, you need to get that right. I cannot overstress that. If you've not yet accepted what God did for you through Jesus Christ on the cross, if you're still dragging along sin in your life, you've got to give that over to Him. You've got to repent of that and let God clean that up and wipe that off of your record. If that's a decision that you want to make today, we'd invite you to come forward in just a moment. If you'd like prayer, we'd invite you to come forward after we pray together. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for today. And I thank you that so many men are stepping up this morning, literally. This week will be kneeling, literally, because of a commitment they've made for you. Father, I pray that amazing things will happen in their lives, that will be reflected in their marriage, in their family, in their workplace, just in their day, that when they put their head down to rest at night, that they will know that day was honoring to you. That they, maybe there were some mistakes made, but overall, it was honoring to you. Father, I thank you for the families that are represented here this morning and the neighborhoods in our community here of Grand Junction. And Father, I do hope and pray that as men better become the men you've called us to be, that would have a ripple effect around us. Father, thank you for Jesus. I ask that you would watch over us as we go, and I pray these things in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Let's sing together this morning. Again, if you have a decision to make, we'd invite you to come forward.